News. I'm Jason Wirt.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-726-1031 because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-726-1031. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-726-1031. That's 800-726-1031.
The show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
And we welcome you back once again. Time for another hour. Bucket Strategy Investing Program. Brain Trust standing by, of course, as always, once again, to help you out with your money issues and to answer your many money questions. I'm Johnny Dean. Professor Rick Plum joins me here in studio, our main Brain Trust advisor. More money strategies, of course, are headed your way this hour, and you can take part in all of this. I would suggest you give us a call right now. We got some people on hold, so we're going to get to the calls right away. 877-PLANNER, that's our number. We got just a couple of lines open for you right now. 877-752-6637. Spells out PLANNER. That's what we do on this program. You can also find us online at our website, wealthed.com. If you have questions or comments that you'd like to get to us via email, that's where you go, wealthed.com. There's a link near the top that says find your answer, and then, of course, we can easily take it from there. WealthEd is your resource for many topics that we talk about on this program, and you can find out answers to your questions right there at wealthed.com. Once again, our number here in studio, 877-PLANNER. We do talk strategy on this show. We talk bucket strategy investing. If you don't have a strategy, I would strongly urge you to get one. Don't put your retirement funds at risk. You call Professor Plummer, anyone at Lucia Capital Group, at their off-air number, which is like this, 800-644-1150. You have them look at what you've got. You have them design a bucket strategy that is specifically tailored to meet your individual needs. Are your retirement goals being met? If not, or if you're unsure about anything that's in your retirement plan, you give us a call right here. The Brain Trust will tell you if you're on the right track. Again, off the air. 800-644-1150. On the air, give us a call. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. We have the planners here in the studio to help you out. Let's move along first this hour to Jeffrey in Billington, Connecticut. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help you today?
Good. Sometimes the best laid plans go to waste, but I'll explain my situation very briefly here.
Okay.
Several years ago, when the estate tax exemption was about $1 million, my attorney set up a bypass trust for my wife and myself, and it's worked, you know, all right. But now we live in Connecticut here, and there's an exemption of only $2 million here, so my estate is about $3.5 million. So that's why we did it. Now the federal exemption is up to over $5 million. The state is still $2 million. And my attorney said to me that any investments inside a bypass trust, the income or the returns inside of this bypass trust have a higher tax bracket. So my first question is that true? And my second question is, what do I do about this?
Well, you have what's known as probably an AB trust, which creates the bypass trust at your passing. Both you and your wife are alive still today, right?
Yes.
Right. So you have a trust that's all held in one piece. And when one of you passes away, their share of the estate will be put over in the bypass trust. That trust is created at that time, and it is an irrevocable trust once it's created and once the money transfers into it. So let's unfortunately play God here and kill you off. And you died. Your assets, your share of the estate, let's say it's $4 million estate, your $2 million goes into the bypass trust. Your wife's $2 million stays in her marital trust, the survivor's trust, there's different names for it. So the trust gets split into two pieces. Because the amount passing into your trust is $2 million, and it doesn't go to your wife right away, you're using your $2 million exemption from the state limit, so your wife's estate's still only worth $2 million. She hasn't received all the money. She's not over the limit for Connecticut. She's fine. Now, this bypass trust is an irrevocable trust. It is its own separate tax identity. And from that point forward, it has its own tax ID number. It has its own tax return. But generally, they are set up to pass whatever income is created from it on an annual basis to the surviving spouse, because she probably needs some income. And so you set this trust up, and it goes over to her. The money that's generated on an annual basis, it shows up as a taxable event to the trust. The money that's paid out to your spouse, your surviving spouse every year, is a reduction to that taxable income. So let's say that that $2 million earns $50,000 in interest. We're just making numbers up here. And all 50 of it is paid to your wife in the same year, your surviving spouse. The trust tax return shows gross income of $50,000, deductions of $50,000 because it went to your wife, and now has a zero taxable income. Your wife shows the $50,000 of taxable income on her tax return because she received it. It flows through across to her. She receives a K-1 and it's taxable to her. Now, if the trust does not pay it to your wife and it doesn't reduce the taxable income of the trust has to pay tax on whatever taxable income is left in the trust. And that's where the rates get really crummy very quickly. A married couple, even a single person, can have almost $450,000, $500,000 of gross income or of taxable income without going into the 39.6% tax bracket. A trust can have about $12,000 before it goes into the 39.6% bracket. So as long as the money is being paid out to the surviving spouse, it's not an issue. It's only an issue if taxable income is left in the trust to be taxed on an annual basis at the trust level. So that's the way that works.
All right, so now there will be at some point two investment properties in the trust when I pass on. What if one of them gets sold inside the trust and not all that money passes to my wife in 1 year?
Right.
So we're talking about an exorbitant amount of taxes, aren't we?
Well, it depends on how much gain is created on that property, because remember, when you pass away, whatever gain is in the property at that point goes away. You get a new basis. The trust has a new basis. Let's say that one of the properties is worth $1 million when you die, and that's one of the millions that goes over to that trust. So that trust now has, even though the property didn't sell, you may have paid $100,000 for it. And if you sold it during your lifetime, there's $900,000 worth of gain. But you didn't sell it. You unfortunately died. So now the trust inherits that property, or the property is transferred that, with a basis of $1 million. So it's only gain above that that your trust is going to have to worry about in the future. So if you can get it to grow to a couple million dollars after that, yes, there's no additional step up in basis. And the trust will pay taxes at trust rates on that gain. Or what happens in many cases is the trust either sells the property right away, where there's no tax, or it holds on to it until your wife passes away, and then it passes on to the ultimate heirs. Now it's the ultimate heirs' property, and they sell it and they pay it at their tax bracket at that point.
Okay, so I don't feel as bad after talking to you. It's not as bad as the attorney was making it out to be.
Well, what was he proposing you do about it?
Well, he wasn't proposing anything. I had asked the question because I heard it from someone else, and I called him up and I asked him if it was true that the income inside of a trust pays more in taxes. He said yes, but he didn't go into the detail that you did. So at the end, he said to me, don't worry about it. He said, if it wasn't for the fact that you live in Connecticut, we wouldn't even have this trust. That's what he was telling me.
And that makes a lot of sense. And any income that is left in the trust on an annual basis, not paid out to the surviving spouse, will pay a higher tax. That's
right.
A true statement.
Right. Okay. So most of the income is going to be divvied out to my wife at my death anyway. So
right.
That's good. I feel very good about this now.
Okay,
well,
Jeff.
Good. Well, I hope that helped you out, Jeffrey. Take care.
Hey, all right. We lost him already.
All right. Well. He got the answer he needed.
It's a complicated area.
Well, it is. Now here again, you see, we talk about estate planning, we talk about
estate taxes and things like that. So we're normally referring to the federal estate tax.
Right.
But of course, in many states, and in his case, in Connecticut,
they don't have the same $5.5 million exemption.
Years ago, I guess when he set up this AB trust or whatever he had, Connecticut, I guess, was either the same as the federal, or was it $2 million? I don't know.
What I've seen is that the states that have estate taxes, we used to have an exemption. The federal tax had a credit for state taxes paid.
Yeah.
Well, they got rid of that because
the states,
and so a lot of states, just like California, they used to have an estate tax equal to whatever exemption the credit was for the federal.
Right.
Well, now that there's no exemption, the state never put one in. But in many cases, a lot of states, and we saw it more in the Northeast than anywhere else, they had their own state death tax, which was completely separate and had nothing to do, wasn't coordinated in any way, shape, or form with the federal rules. And so when the federal rules were 600, they may have been 500 or million. They were very different, and you had to work with both systems.
Yeah, and that's kind of what he had here. So what he did was he set this up a long time ago based on the estate tax limits for Connecticut at the time and based on where the federal, but of course now the federal is, you know, $5.45 million per person.
And the goal is to split the estate to avoid the ultimate estate tax later on. Because like he said, he's got a $4 million estate. If he dies and gives it all to his surviving spouse,
she's over there.
Now, we can give any amount of money we want to our citizen spouse without any estate tax, without any problem. Now she's worth $4 million.
Which is fine from a federal level.
Yeah, she's still, but from the, if she were to die when she still had the $4 million before she spent it all, if that were the case, her estate would be subject to some amount of estate tax, state death tax, state estate
state
tax.
Estate.
State transfer tax. There would be a tax.
Yes.
Imposed by the state. But by splitting it into two pieces, the money didn't actually go to her. It went to his ultimate beneficiary. So he's using his $2 million here, and she's using her $2 million over there.
Right.
Neither one of them are over the exemption.
And that's the way a lot of it was done years ago before the estate tax limits were so high on the federal side.
And in states that don't have the tax, it's still done.
All right, 877-PLANNER, coming right back with more Bucket Strategy Investing.
This is a special invitation for business owners or human resources managers representing companies of 50 or more employees. The retirement planning strategists at Lucia Capital Group will travel to your city and present a customized private retirement planning seminar for your employees. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes have spoken to thousands of individuals about planning for retirement and addressed their concerns about outliving their money, stock market volatility, managing taxes, company-sponsored retirement benefit plans, and more. Now they're available to speak to your organization. This is a convenient way for your employees to get their retirement questions answered and learn how a plan can be designed to integrate all of their retirement resources. Call Lucia Capital Group to schedule a private retirement planning meeting. Call 800-644-1150. That's 800-644-1150. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes are registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities LLC, a registered broker-dealer member SIPC. Lucia Securities is a wholly owned subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
Every investor has their own unique financial fingerprint, each with their own unique concerns.
Concern that I have is that I'm not going to have enough money for retirement.
At Lucia Capital Group, we hear your biggest concerns.
Taxes and retirement. Taxes are already biting us pretty good.
Retirement in today's economy can be overwhelming.
Most of my 401k is in a high-risk investment. I'm concerned about that.
If you're worried about outliving your money, the unpredictability of the stock market, or risks associated with inflation, call Lucia Capital Group for a complimentary plan review. Learn how the bucket strategy is designed to provide opportunities for diversification and investment options in a low interest rate environment. Schedule a consultation at no cost by calling 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or visit luciacap.com, luciacap.com.
Securities offered through Lucia Securities LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, an affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services. The strategy involves investment subject to risk.
Who's there?
Fallen off.
Fallen off who?
Fallen off pain patch.
What?
Don't be fooled by the knock knocks. Get the relief you deserve with Blue Emu's Lidacare pain relief patches. Our narcotic free maximum strength adhesion formula with dry technology won't have you worrying about a corny knock knock joke anymore. Cause pain is no joke. Find us at CVS, Walgreens, and Amazon.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems? Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-658-3876. That's 800-658-3876. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-658-3876.
Starting a business can be tough, but getting the word out about your business through a great website can be even tougher. That's why you need SpotOnWebsite.com. At SpotOnWebsite.com, you can register your company's domain name and even build your website overnight. It's fast, easy, and most of all, it's sure to fit your budget. SpotOnWebsite.com has a wide range of internet products and solutions to make the most of your website, even on a small business budget. Log on today and see for yourself at SpotOnWebsite.com.
Jack Rabbit Slim. That's where they were walking around. Yeah, I think it was. All right, 877 Planner, PLANNER. Plum has to see Pulp Fiction in order to understand that. That just automatically comes to mind when I talk about that. All right, that's fine. We'll have a movie night one night, Professor Plum. You'll get to see what you've been missing.
Will we get the censored version of that one?
No,
wouldn't there say a word.
There isn't one.
There wouldn't be a word said.
It'd be about 9 minutes long is all it is. All right, anyway, 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. We do have some room on the phones. If you've got a money question, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, here from Lucia Capital Group, ready to talk to you about strategy, et cetera. We're also going to get, probably right after the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk about some of these points that were made. I guess it was in a U.S. News article about required minimum distributions. Some things to know, six things, in fact, to know about required minimum distributions. That's another topic that comes up a lot in this program. People asking us about different strategies with regard to required minimum distributions, and it's actually played a role in some of the things we've talked about so far this week. So we'll get to that, I believe, after the bottom of the hour. But 877-PLANNER, WealthEd.com, our website, WealthEd.com. If you want to send us an email, as Don did in Portland, Oregon, I will retire before the end of this year. My wife will continue to work part-time next year. Is there some kind of minimum amount of wages she needs to earn so, as her spouse, I can still contribute to my Roth IRA? Or can I contribute at all since I will have no income other than Social Security?
Well, Don, assuming that you are filing a joint return with your spouse, she needs to make at least $6,500 for you to be able to put $6,500 into a Roth IRA. Now, if she only earns $6,500 and she puts $6,500 into hers, now she doesn't have any money left over for you. So she has to earn enough money to support the contribution. If she earns $5,000, she can make a $5,000 contribution. If she makes $50,000, she can put $6,500 in for her and $6,500 in for you. There just has to be enough income on the joint return to support the contribution. So as long as she's making some money, you can probably do something.
Now, since he said he's going to retire before the end of 2016, we're assuming that Don and his spouse are both age 50 or older.
Yeah, and he's also talking about 2017 because he has the income to support his own IRA contribution this year. So she's
because he is going to be retiring.
And yes, I am assuming they're 50 plus years old. Otherwise, it would be only $5,500.
I just wanted to say that. I just thought I'm pulling a Plum here and I'm covering all the bases. Yeah. So
now, if she only makes $4,000, you can't put $5,500 in. You can only put four in. The limit is 100% of what you earn. Mm-hmm. Reduced by retirement plan contributions at work, health care coverage out of your employer's expense, and up to a limit of $5,500 if you're under 50, or $6,500 if you're 50 or older.
Yes, that's just throwing that in. Now, okay, so spousal IRAs. Let's just talk about those.
The
for just
Kay
a couple
Bailey
of seconds.
Hutchinson spousal IRA.
Okay, well, yeah, let's get into that just a little bit and talk about what it is, because you can actually contribute if your spouse does not work and you have enough income to support the contributions.
And you're otherwise under the AGI limit.
Yeah, so let's talk for just a second about how spousal IRAs work and what the limits are.
Basically, they're looking at the household income. Assuming you're filing a joint return, they're looking at the household income. Usually IRAs are done on an individual basis. It is an individual retirement account, IRA. But when we're dealing with the joint return, we can basically use our spouse's earned income to support a contribution to our IRA. If you're filing a separate return, it doesn't work as well. It doesn't work at all. So you have to look at those issues. Now, you still have to be under the AGI limits for contributing to the Roth IRA, married couple, $184,000 or less. You have to have earned income and be under the AGI limit. If you don't have earned income, your spouse has to have enough earned income and file a joint return with you and be under the AGI limit. And that's it. There's no age limit either. Unlike a traditional IRA, where if you are at required minimum distribution age or older, you can no longer contribute to a traditional IRA or spousal traditional IRA in that case, because you're over the limit, you're over the age limit. Roth IRAs don't have an age limit, because they don't have a required minimum distribution age, at least not for the owner. And so, and let's say that, you know, Don is the one that keeps working, and he's 73 years old. He can't contribute to a traditional IRA, but let's say his wife was 63 years old, and she was not working. He can do a deductible, potentially a deductible traditional IRA for her. Even though he's not allowed to on his own, he can do it for her.
Yeah, it's an interesting scenario. And how is it that that came to be? It's just allowed.
It's just allowed. It's just the rules say you can do it.
Okay.
You can do it.
You can do it all night long if you want. All right, Don, thank you for the question. Again, 877-PLANNER, our number. Cynthia in Tempe, Arizona, says, on Tuesday's program, a gentleman called and said he was 54 and on SSDI. He also said his wife is 55. You informed this man his wife could receive a spousal benefit when she reaches age 62. My husband, she says, is also disabled, and we are both under 60 years of age. I'm 58. My husband is 55. Does this mean I can take a spousal at my full retirement age, or if I choose age 62? Are there other spousal options also available? I thought people under age 62 are no longer able to apply for spousal benefits. Please clarify this point with regard to disability. Thank you for your great show and for answering my question. Okay, well, let's take the first one first here.
Well, actually, let's go to the last one first.
Which one?
The people under 62. She's referring to the new rules that were put in place. The rules that said if you were not 62 by January 1st of this year, you no longer can choose to take a spousal-only option at full retirement age. And if you are not 62 by January 1st of 2016, whenever you apply for a benefit, you must be applying for your own benefit first. It didn't say you can't get a spousal benefit. It just said you can't get a spousal benefit without applying for your own first. For a lot of people, that means they won't get a spousal benefit because their benefit is higher than the spousal. So at 62, you can still get your own benefit. And if your benefit is relatively small, if your spouse, your worker in this case, has applied for their benefit, you can get potentially a spousal benefit because it's larger than your own. Now, you're not going to get just a spousal benefit. You're going to get a combination of benefits equaling the higher of the two numbers. But the whole idea, let's go back to what the spousal rules say. We're going to talk about a spouse and a worker. Doesn't matter which, you know, whether it's male, female, female, male, whatever the case may be. We're talking about a spouse and a worker. For the spouse to be eligible to receive a spousal benefit under any rules, old rules, new rules, the spouse needs to be at least 62, and the worker needs to be on a benefit. The worker has to have either applied for their retirement benefit, or the worker has to be on a disability benefit. In this case, yesterday's call, or Tuesday's call, the benefit, the worker was receiving a disability benefit. Once the spouse became 62 years of age, they are then potentially eligible for a spousal benefit because the worker is receiving their benefit. Doesn't matter what age the worker is. The question is the worker receiving a benefit, either a disability benefit or a retirement benefit? So as long as they're receiving a disability benefit or a retirement benefit, now the spouse is potentially eligible. But at 62, 63, 64, 65, in all cases, the spouse must apply for their own benefit first. Now, if their benefit is a relatively small benefit, the spousal benefit may be larger, and they would receive an extra amount equal to the amount. The new rules come into the fact that if you weren't 62 at the right time, you'll never be able to take just a spousal benefit like we used to be able to do.
That's right. You're restricted from the restricted application is what it is. And that'll be all gone in about 3.5 years. Okay, 877-PLANNER. More questions asked, more questions answered. We do have lines open. Give us a call. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Blum from Lucia Capital Group. We're coming right back.
At Lucia Capital Group, we believe there are three critical steps that should precede making any investment decision: education, advice, and planning. Education: learn about available options and expand your understanding of investment products. Advice: get guidance from experienced financial planning professionals who you feel understand your specific needs. Planning: choose a strategy that consistently supports your investment decisions. Where can you go for financial guidance? Lucia Capital Group invites you to build your wealth education at WealthEd.com. WealthEd.com features live and on-demand video programming featuring Lucia Capital Group advisors who will help educate you about investing, give guidance based on years of experience in the financial services industry, and help you build a strategic plan that integrates your investments. WealthEd.com, the site dedicated to wealth education. WealthEd.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities LLC, member SIPC and a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal. Social Security rules that may affect your benefits are changing in 2016. Do you know how you'll be impacted?
My question has to do with Social Security and...
The Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015 changed the way some couples will file for Social Security benefits.
Are we each allowed to take a spousal benefit on the other?
The rules that previously allowed a spouse to claim a partner's benefit while allowing their own benefit to grow have changed. If you were born after January 2, 1954, you may have questions about the laws affecting restricted claims on spousal benefits. Call the Social Security hotline, 800-838-0483. Find out if you'll be affected and if there's action you need to take. Call the free Social Security hotline, a resource for updates on changing rules and regulations. Call 800-838-0483, 800-838-0483. The Social Security hotline is not endorsed by or a service of the Social Security Administration or any government agency. Lucia Capital Group is not affiliated with the Social Security Administration.
QL1, this is Control, checking in to see how excited you are for launch. Over.
Well, actually, Control, I'm kind of bored.
I think you cut out, QL1. It sounded like you said you were bored.
That's affirmative, Control.
You're about to travel 17,000 miles per hour through Earth's atmosphere, and you're bored?
It just doesn't sound that exciting after using Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. I was able to get a completely online custom mortgage approval in minutes.
All right, you cut out for sure this time. Did you say I can get a mortgage approval in minutes?
That's right, Control. Minutes. Whether you're purchasing a new house or refinancing your existing home, Rocket Mortgage securely pulls your pay stubs and bank statements to build you a custom mortgage solution so you get exactly what you want.
Wow, that is exciting.
Yep, definitely better than months of dehydrated ice cream and powdered orange drink.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com. Push button, get mortgage.
Rocket.
Visit for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now. Get a free quote for your husband. And while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, That was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's A Place for Answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
When I get older, losing my head. Okay. Welcome back to the program. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, 877-PLANNER, our number, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. We finally have some lines open for you. If you want to give us a call, ask us your money questions. You can also email us, as we've just read a couple emails here. You go to our website, wealtheds.com, W-E-A-L-T-H, wealtheds.com, to find your answer link. We'll do a couple more here before the end of the hour, but I want to get into this, Professor Plum. Six things to know about required minimum distributions. I think for some reason, required minimum distributions are confusing to people. I shouldn't say for some reason. I mean, they are confusing. First of all, required minimum distributions simply happen once you reach age 70 and a half.
If you're the owner of the account.
As the owner of the account, age 70 and a half, you are required to start taking money out of your retirement accounts.
And one of the confusing things is it's not the day you turn 70 and a half.
Oh, it's the year you turn 70 and a half. They look back and they say, did you turn 70 and a half last year? You did. Well, you should have taken a required minimum distribution. Now, if you haven't taken one, there's a little reprieve. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But here's the thing. In fact, this is one of the first things that they said. Six things to know about required minimum distributions. This is from Jeff Brown in, I think, U.S. News. But anyway, there's a grace period. That's what they say. Now, this is true, Professor Plum. The first withdrawal after turning 70 and a half does not have to be taken right away the year that you turn age 70 and a half, does it?
Just that first one. But yes, you can mess up the first one as long as you catch it in time, or you can postpone it as long as you take it in time. The very, very first one doesn't have to happen during the calendar year, but it does have to happen within 3 months after the calendar year.
Yes, and one thing to keep in mind, too, that when you take the first, if you happen to postpone the next one into the first quarter of the next year and you take it, you are, of course, required to take the other required minimum distribution for age 71.
You're not postponing your starting date, really. It's still, let's say you turn 70 and a half during calendar year 2016. You have a 2016 required minimum distribution. You can postpone taking that 2016 required minimum distribution till the first quarter of next year. But next year, you also have a 2017 required minimum distribution. Just taking money out, the 2016 required minimum distribution, sometime before April 1st next year, doesn't satisfy the 2017 required minimum distribution.
No.
Remember, you're still satisfying the 2016 required minimum distribution. So you still have another one to take next year.
Yeah, and it's important to keep in mind, too, that if you have a relatively high balance in, say, your IRA, where it's, you know, maybe you have $500,000 balance and you don't take the first required minimum distribution, so you put it off into the next year, you'll have like a $20,000 RMD that you have to take by April 15th, and you're going to have another.
April 1st.
I'm sorry, April 1st, yes, sorry. April 1st, thank you. And then you're going to have another $20,000 that you have to take out sometime before the end of the year. Having to do that may push you into a higher income tax bracket.
Now, there are times where it does work out. I've seen it where individuals were working all through the year that they turned 70 and a half, and they had a pretty high income while they were working, and actually doubling up the next year created less income than they were making in the year that they started. So it made sense to postpone it. But most of the time, it does not make sense to postpone it.
Yeah, so just something to keep in mind. So that's one thing to know. There is that grace period, but understand where you are in the tax brackets, where your taxes stand, especially with regard to Social Security is another one, before you decide that you're going to postpone it. Sounds like a good deal, and it can be, but it isn't always. Here's another one that they mention of the six things to know about required minimum distributions. Timing. Though many experts caution against trying to match purchases and sales with the market's ups and downs, RMDs force the issue. If you must sell part of a holding, they said, it's better to sell when prices are high rather than low,
By taking a bigger portion of the account, a sale at a low can chew so deeply into your portfolio that it may never recover.
Now, there's two sides to this. This statement can either be stupid or on the point.
They'll correct it later, but go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
If you don't need, well, let's talk about it. If you are selling out stocks because you need to spend the money, you didn't plan very well. Any money that you think you're going to need to spend over the next couple of years should not be in stocks. So if that's an issue, put the money in a safer area because you know you're going to need to spend it. Now, on the other side, if you have an IRA where you don't need any of the money, and it does happen, and you're not worried about using the money in the IRA to spend it right away, you don't have to sell anything to create the required minimum distribution. So their strategic planning is off base here, because either you either have expenses, which means the money shouldn't have been in the stock market to begin with, mm-hmm. or you don't have expenses, and if you don't have expenses, then you don't have to sell the stock, or it's, you just have to take a distribution, and the distribution can be in the form of the stock. And so if the stock is down quite a bit right now and you don't want to sell it and you don't need it to spend it, just distribute the stock. That creates the required minimum distribution as long as it's a large enough value. And you still own the stock and you can let it recover. And when it recovers in your personal account. It recovers with a capital gain rather than ordinary income. It's no longer part of the IRA, so it doesn't increase your required minimum distribution in the future. There's no reason to sell the stock or the asset or the security to satisfy a required minimum distribution.
Yeah.
The reason you sell something is to satisfy spending needs.
And you know, and as you said, if there are spending needs and you're selling them, you should not be selling the stock. You should not be doing that.
You should have already, when the stock hopefully was a little bit higher than it was when it crashed, you should have put it into an account that allows you to draw it down regardless of what the market
right.
did.
Which is why you have a bucket strategy to begin with. Now, they talked to a couple of different planners, advisors on this particular situation. One of them said, if you have one IRA that is all stocks and one IRA that is all bonds, and you believe interest rates will rise and therefore negatively impact your bond holdings, you would want to sell some bonds and use that cash for the RMD.
Well, if you're all in long-term bonds and you in your heart of hearts believe that interest rates are going to rise, you may want to sell them now inside the IRA and do something else with them before you realize or what you expect to have happen. I mean, why would I want to stay in an investment that I truly expect to go down in value? I mean, when I hold on to investment, now they may go down in value if I hold on to it, but it's not because I think it's going to go down. I think it's going to go up. It's the reason I'm holding it. If I'm in a portfolio that I really think is going to go down in value, why am I holding it? Sell it now while you have some profit in it or have the assets in it and redeploy it into something that isn't hurt by what you are sure in this case is going to happen, which may not happen.
Yeah, and here's something else, and I we're getting, you know, these are advisors who are saying this, who are talking about if you have to take an RMD that you got to sell, they're implying that you actually have to sell the security. They said, one person said, taking RMDs during the massive sell-off in January and February 2016 would have negatively impacted portfolio balances versus waiting for the rally to bring the market back up to an all-time high just a few months later.
No, it wouldn't have. Not at all.
Yeah, explain this. This is an important point.
If I would have taken my distribution from my IRA in January, the second week of February, which I think was the low point of the market, it was down quite a bit the early part of this year. If I would have just taken my required minimum distribution, and that would have been a really good time to take a required minimum distribution, assuming I didn't need the money to spend, and I had assets that followed the market down, and I thought that they were good assets, and it was just, and they were going to recover. Moving the asset to my personal name did a great job. That was a great way, a great time to take a required minimum distribution in the form of a security transferred out to my name personally. Because then when it does, as I mentioned earlier, when it did recover, and we're not talking about historical here, when that asset did recover and is at now record highs, like they, according to their statements, is that inside my IRA now? Nope. Did it create a higher balance in my IRA? Nope. Did it create a higher required minimum distribution for next year because it recovered inside the IRA?
Nope.
Nope. Did it create an unrealized capital gain that I have not had to pay tax on? Yeah. What if I hold on to that until I die? Will anybody pay tax on it? Nope.
Not if they sell then.
What if I sell it between after I hold it for a year? That gain is a capital gain, long-term capital gain, less expensive than if that gain had occurred inside the IRA. The person is not looking at it quite right.
No, they're not thinking. And here's the thing. When you take it, okay, Here would be the answer to that, I think, from certain advisors. They would say, well, you said assuming you don't need the money. Well, what if you do need the money?
Then you couldn't have ever let it recover.
Okay, well, explain that.
Well, they're talking about if you would have, I mean, they were talking about you didn't.
You sold it off
in January,
February.
You sold it to meet the required minimum distribution, right, which meant that you couldn't let it recover. Well, I didn't sell it to meet the required minimum distribution. I transferred it to meet the required minimum distribution, which meant that I could let it recover. Now, if I was selling it because I needed the cash to spend, whether it's in my personal account or my IRA account, if I'm selling it to spend, that's a mistake. Because anytime you are relying on a volatile asset to provide an income stream that you need in the next couple of years, you are opening yourself up for the opportunity to lose money. Yep. Sure, you could make money. So some of the times you'll do very well. But some of the times you're going to shoot yourself in the foot.
And when you're retired,
that's much worse.
You'll never recover.
That money doesn't recover because it's gone.
It's gone. You are taking a short-term liability, matching it with a long-term asset, and that is the incorrect way to do it.
They were comparing a spending strategy to an RMD strategy, which the two don't mix.
No, they don't mix. In fact, both strategies were wrong.
In fact, they should have already moved the money out of the stocks into a thing that would be able to create the spending they need and meet the required minimum distribution at the same time.
Oh, we'll do more of these. I don't have time to do them probably today, but we'll talk more about this tomorrow because this really speaks to strategy and it clears up a lot of the confusion that even advisors are saying. All right, 877-PLANNER. David, we'll get to your question and others. Trivia, more emails, more phone calls. When we come back, John Adine, Professor Rick Plum, Bucket Strategy Investing.
Lucia Capital Group Advisors travel the country talking to individuals about retirement at open seminars, but they can also schedule a private seminar at your company and customize a retirement planning presentation for your employees.
I'm Rick Plum, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Terry Keyes, Chartered Financial Consultant.
We'll teach you a strategy to integrate Social Security benefits with your other investments.
We'll talk about lifetime income strategies and what alternatives to stocks and bonds may fit into your retirement plan.
We'll tell you what you should know about managed portfolios, and we'll discuss your concerns about outliving your money, stock market volatility, and managing your taxes.
Business owners and HR managers can now schedule private retirement planning meetings for organizations of 50 or more. Call Lucia Capital Group at 800-644-1150 to schedule. That's 800-644-1150. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes are registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities LLC, a registered broker-dealer member SIPC. Lucia Securities is a wholly owned subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
Lucia Capital Group asked what you feel are your greatest financial fears.
I'm worried about outliving our money.
Another market crash.
Taxes in our retirement.
While we may share concerns about saving, investing, and retiring, we each have a unique financial fingerprint and our own individual concerns.
We always worry about the national economy.
Inflation, healthcare costs.
Because every investor has their own challenges, Lucia Capital Group customizes a strategy for each client that addresses their specific goals and needs. At Lucia Capital Group, we understand fear of outliving your money, market volatility, and inflation. Learn how a bucket strategy can be designed to help address your concerns. Schedule a complimentary consultation. Call 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or click Contact Us at luciacap.com. That's luciacap.com.
Securities offered through Lucia Securities LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, and affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services. The strategy involves investment subject to risk.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I need back-to-school supplies for my son.
Well, Staples has everything you need at low prices every day.
He needs folders, binders, a backpack.
Sounds like quite the little organizer.
No, he's quite the little loser.
Come again?
He loses papers, homework, you name it, he loses it.
Ah, that kind of loser.
Oh, yeah.
Got it.
Back-to-school supplies are back for more. Staples has everything you need for back-to-school at low prices every day. Like a 4-pack of 3M Post-its for just $3. Staples, make more happen.
While supplies last, ends 9/17, limit 30 in-store, 10 online.
Napa know-how.
In third grade, there's one way to protect yourself. Karate. But now that you're mostly grown up, pick up a dash cam at Napa for just $39.99. With 8 gigs of storage, a wide-angle lens, and loop recording, it's everything you need to protect yourself on the road. The Napa dash cam for $39.99. It's no flying mantis neck kick, but just as effective. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer expires 8/31/16.
Say hello to John. John dreamed of building a successful business and retiring to an exotic island in the Caribbean. He dreamed about his sales soaring and all the money that would be flowing in. He dreamed of hiring a sales team and expanding his company. Well, sadly, that dream fell apart when his bank turned down his business loan. Now John is not dreaming about going to the Caribbean anymore. He's driving around in an old beat-up pickup truck. If you need money to grow your business to new heights so you can reach your dreams, don't let the bank hold you down. You need to call Merchant Advance Express today. We can help you get qualified for up to $250,000 to grow your business any way you want. Call now to learn more. Call 800-503-3735, 800-503-3735, 800-503-3735. That's 800-503-3735.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
We take your calls here on the program. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group, helping you out. Brain Trust, answering your questions, talking to you about planning, talking to you about retirement, helping you where you need help the most, and that is with your money. 877-PLANNER. We'll be tell you what's coming up on the program tomorrow in just a little bit. Also some trivia if we have time and another email or two. But I do want to get to the phone calls once again. Let's move next to David in Myrtle Creek, Oregon. Hello, David.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you today?
Oh, not too bad. So far, so good.
Good. So how can we help you, my friend?
Yeah, I got a question. I'm thinking about rolling over a 401k from one company to a new job that I started. Mm-hmm. Don't know if that's the best move, considering how the market crashes half the time and then it goes back up. I just want to know if there's something more secure than that, like a Roth.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. A 401k is not an investment. A Roth IRA is not an investment. Those are accounts. And in the accounts, you can have stocks, bonds, mutual funds. You can have different investments. So how you go about investing it is up to you, given the choices that you have in the 401k. If you moved it to the new 401k, there will be choices, some of them on the aggressive side where you could lose money and you can make money, some of them on the more conservative side, maybe even a stable value fund that's guaranteed. So how you go about investing it? So you would want to look at the investment choices that are available within the new 401k, see if you like it, and because it does, if this is your only investment account, it's nice to have it at one place, and it's a little bit easier to manage. On the other side, if you move it to an IRA, which it's an old employer's 401k, you can do that. You have a lot more choices, but it is up to you to decide how to invest it. You can be as conservative as a bank account, you can be as aggressive as an individual stock, you can be anywhere in between, ETFs, mutual funds, bonds, whatever the case may be. So you have a lot more options in the IRA. But the IRA is not the risky part of it. The 401k is not the risky part of it or the safe part of it. It's the underlying investments. And within both types of accounts, you can have aggressive or more conservative investments. Now, you mentioned Roth IRA. The only way to get it over to a Roth IRA is to pay taxes on the balance. I'm assuming it came from a traditional 401k that you had taken out of your paycheck and you had pre-tax money going in, and it's been earning pre-tax money since. So the only way to get it to a Roth IRA, which again is only an account that then you can choose to invest however you want, would be to pay taxes. Whether that's a good idea or not is based on how much income do you have right now and how much income you might have in the future. So let's talk about the options. Look at the new company. Do they have options, investment options within that account that make sense to you whether it's risky or aggressive, whether it's conservative and safe.
Have you taken a look at that, David?
I haven't yet, no. Okay. But I'm sure that they got a lot of options.
I'm sure they have a lot of options. So now it becomes an issue of management. Do you want to manage it and have a lot of choices, basically almost a seemingly unlimited amount of choices, or do you want to have a menu to pick from with some you know, 401ks have, unfortunately, a lot of options that make it very difficult to choose from. Some have only five or six options, like the federal government's 401k. It has five, which you know cuts down on your analysis program. You can just pick those a couple from those areas. So look at the 401k. Now, I've had an attorney tell me, he goes, I don't like rolling money into a new 401k. I don't like my new employer knowing that I just rolled in $200,000, $300,000 into the 401k. Their opinion was it may make them less likely to give me a raise in the future because they know I've got a bunch of money already. I don't know if that's true or not. That was their take on it. How large is this 401k?
How large is it?
Yeah.
The one I'm rolling over, it's not a lot. It's like about
$1,700. I would roll it over to the new 401k and just treat it as part of the new 401k and contribute to my new 401k all in one spot.
On one spot?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know you're going to end up paying taxes anyways on that also.
Yeah, you're going to pay taxes someday. And if you die before spending all the money, somebody will pay the taxes on it someday.
Okay. Yeah, can't get around that no matter what you do, I guess.
Death and taxes.
Yeah.
Now, how old are you, David?
I'm sorry?
How old are you?
54.
54, okay. Even though you're 54 and you're closer to retirement than somebody who's maybe 24, it's $1,700. You're going to start contributing to this new 401k. I would actually invest this $1,700 and the new contributions, definitely the new contributions, for growth in volatile assets that very well could drop. But I think that over the next 10-plus years that you're going to continue to work, it will do better for you there than putting it into a bank account that earns nothing but won't lose any money either.
Right, right. Probably be better off in the long run doing the 401k then, huh?
Do the 401k, invest it for growth, $1,700, and then contribute as much as you can afford to contribute. Definitely, if they have a matching contribution, get put in as much as you can to get that matching contribution. I would try to put in more than just the matching contribution if possible. But, yeah, I would just keep it all in one account, one 401k.
All right. One more question. I don't know if you deal with this or not. Life insurance, like term life insurance, you guys deal with that? Or do you?
No, we do it, yeah, sure. What do you want to know?
Well, there's term life, and then there's, what's the other?
There's permanent. There's either universal whole life or index universal.
Yeah. Well,
there's variable insurance, too. Let's talk about you. The insurance is for what purpose?
Well, protect my wife and all the bills in case something should happen to me.
I would look at a term policy because it doesn't sound like you're maxing out your 401k or your Roth IRAs. Do a term policy, 20-year term policy or something of that nature, but get the need covered. I think that given what you've been telling me, that your permanent insurance will probably be too expensive for what you're trying to avoid to do, and you won't be able to get enough coverage. But sit down and talk to somebody about that. I would suggest either a term policy or something known as a guaranteed universal life. Keep the cost down, get the benefit that you need, and some of it you don't need for the rest of your life, some of it you may need for the rest of your life. It may be that you buy two policies, one term and one GUL.
Oh, okay. Okay, guaranteed, huh?
Yep, I like guarantees.
Yeah, I tell you what. Hey, David, I'm about out of time for the hour. If you want to hold on, we can get you some idea of what it would cost for this insurance. So hang on a second, because we do work very closely with people who understand insurance. And in his case, yes, a term would make sense once again because you do need to be maxing out all of your retirement accounts first before
it
you
makes more sense.
It.
Yes.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just not. It's too expensive.
Otherwise, you end up not getting enough insurance.
Yeah, it's too expensive, and your insurance, which he said his main concern is
protecting
getting the
his
insurance
wife.
Right. Exactly. Okay. If you're out, we're out of time. If you need the Brain Trust off the air, you want to talk to Professor Rick Plum or any of the Brain Trust advisors at Lucia Capital Group, reach them at this number, 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150. Talk to Professor Plum. Get your plan set up. For Professor Rick Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.